ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 10, text number 29 and 30. Anantaha cha asmi naganam varunaha yadasam aham pitranam aryama cha asmi yamaha sammayatam anantaschasmi naganam varuno yadasam aham Pitruryama chasmi Yamaha sanyamatam aham Anantas chasmi naganam Varuno yadasam aham Pitrunam madhyama chasmi Yamaha sanyamatam aham Anantas chasmi nagana Varuno yadasamaham Pitrunaryama chasmi Yamaha sanyamatamaham Anantaha Ananta Cha also Asmi I am Naganam of the many hooded serpents Varunaha the demigod controlling the water Yadasam of all aquatics Aham I am Pitrunam of the ancestors Aryama Aryama also cha also asmi I am Yamaha the controller of death Samyantama of all regulators Aham I Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of many hooded nagas, I am Ananta, and amongst the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama, and amongst the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the Lord of Death. Among many hooded Naga serpents, Ananta is the greatest and is the demigod Varuna amongst the aquatics. They both represent Krishna. There is also a planet of Pitas, ancestors, presided over by Aryama, who represents Krishna. There are many living entities who give punishment to the miscreants, and amongst them, Yama is the chief. Yama is situated in the planet near this earthly planet. After death, those who are very sinful are taken there and Yama arranges different kinds of punishment on them. Number 30. Praladas chasmi daityanam kalah kalayatamaham mruganam cha mrugendruham vainetayascha pakshina. Pralad cha also aham I am Asmi ayam daityanam of the demons, kalaha, time, kalayatam of the subduers, aham ayam, mruganam of animals, cha and mrugendraha the lion, aham I am vainetaha garuda, cha also pakshinam of the birds. Among the daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad among the subdued. I am the time. Among the beasts, I am the lion, and among the birds, I am Garuda. Diti and Aditi are two sisters. The sons of Aditi are called Adityas, and the sons of Diti are called Daityas. All the Adityas are devotees of the Lord, and all the Daityas are atheistic. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Daityas, he was the great devotee from his childhood. Because of his devotional service and godly nature, he is considered to be the representative of Krishna. There are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe and so represents Krishna. Of the many animals, the lion is the most powerful and ferocious, and of the millions of varieties of birds, Garuda, the bearer of Lord Vishnu, is the greatest. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Shri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Anantas Chasmi Naganam Varuno Yadasamaham Pitrur Arnima Chasmi Yama Sanyamatamaham Prahladas Chasmi Daityanam Kalah Kalayatamaham Virganam Chamrgendraham Vainetes Chapakshinam Of many hooded Nagas, I am Ananta, and amongst the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama, and amongst the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the Lord of Death. Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad, and amongst the subduers, I am Time. Among beasts, I am Lion, and among the birds, I am Garuda. So, Lord Shri Krishna is further enumerating his opulences. This is the onset of creation where the living entities, bearing the enviousness from the Lord Himself, are now going to populate the whole world through the Prajapatis. This material world is made up of duality, which are opposites of each other. So, naturally, there must be some kind of balance to be created. And whether the balance is positive or when it comes to negative, it is the desire of the Lord, because He is the maintainer of the material worlds. How does He maintain? He manifests His multifarious energies. And this manifestation of energies give us the proof that behind this energy, the energetic is there. Because it is all working under His directions. So, in the onset of creation, the manifested material energies called opulence. When they are becoming variegated, it is Lord Krishna's desire. This variegatedness is important to give choices to the living entities who are by nature envious. So Srila Prabhupada is putting very nicely that Diti and Aditi, two wives of Kashyap Muni who was a Prajapati, they have completely different nature. Sons of Aditi are called Adityas. And one of the verses Krishna says, Adityanam Aham Vishnu. I incarnate in Aditi's family as Vishnu, Vamandev. He came as the son of. Right? So, and the Daityas, who are inimical to the Lord and his devotees, the demigods, the Adityas. The best of even the opposite nature, that is envious nature, sometimes I incarnate within them. So I am impartial. And I am maintaining both their desires, the Daityas and Adityas too. So these opulences give us a good insight towards how Lord Shri Krishna is maintaining the material universe. All the living entities are envious of the opulences of the Lord. They want to lord it over the material nature. So, all these prowesses that Lord Krishna claims, they are first emerging in the episode of churning of the ocean. All the great opulences that he claims, they are coming from, most of them are coming from the churning of the ocean. Now, who is churning the ocean? The powerful opposite elements, the Daityas and the demigods and demons, both are. It's Krishna's desire that, yes, I will distribute, but let's see what is their choices, what are they going for. Being envious of the Lord, they choose something very destructive, that they think it will be used just to fulfill their desires and subdue their staunch enemies, the demigods. So, in previous verses, the poison that has been coming out, the demons liked it, but they were afraid. So somehow another Lord Vishnu commanded Lord Shiva to drink it. And in order to pacify the demons who didn't want to drink themselves, they became the follower because they said, yes, he drank for our sake, so we will become, you know, more powerful. So let's pray and he will always protect us. So generally, the demons go after Lord Shiva and harass him too. If he doesn't supply, they harass him. They force him to give them benediction. But regardless, we see how the mentality, envious mentality is working. So here in this particular verses, Krishna is claiming himself to be Ananta Shesh. Of all the hooded serpents, he is the Ananta. Actually, Ananta is expansion. Why he is expansion? Because after all, he is his own opulence. Right? There is Naganam, out of all different kinds of Nagas, or the serpents. There's a beautiful story from Mahabharata about the emergence of the serpents. We'll read later on. But then, Varuna, the demigod who is controlling of waters, he has that kind of desire to maintain all the aquatics in his jurisdiction. So, this personality is a demigod. He lives within the water. He has opulences, and because Krishna is manifesting his opulences through this personality, so he can control the aquatics in the water. He also organizes a kind of leela, you know, to rescue Nanda Maharaj. Varuna steals Nanda Maharaj, you know, because he wanted Lord Krishna to come and release him. So in this way, you know, Krishna is overpowering. His manifested energies and want to fulfill both as a devotee and the desires of the devotee as well as show his supremacy. So the opulences are manifested by the Supreme, and because these opulences are manifesting, and we can see even so many opulences even today, that gives us the proof that whose opulences are. They do not manifest automatically, but these energies are belonging to the energetic. So the manifested energies are called opulences. This is called vaibhav. The energetic is called vibhu, and energies, when they manifest, it becomes vaibhav, opulences. There are three kinds of vaibhavs described in Harinam Chintamani. Jaiva vaibhav. We are also manifested energies, but we are in a marginal state. Those energy principles manifested through the internal potency, internal energy of the Lord, antaranga shakti, that is called chidvaibhav. And those which are manifested by bahiranga shakti or external energy is called achidvaibhav. In between two is marginal, that is the jiva. So the manifestations of achidvaibhav is this material world. Manifestation of the spiritual world is due to chidvaibhav. And Haridas Thakur is enumerating the examples. These manifestations are there. Can't we recognize it? We can recognize ourselves, but our position is in the middle. So we are jaiva vaibhav. That is Krishna's energy. And he claims, and he proves through the authentic literature, that we are not a lump of ignorance as a soul, but the body is. Because body is made up from inferior energy, the bahiranga shakti, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. On the other behalf, chidvaibhav, the description of the spiritual world is always coming under this category of chidvaibhav. The holy name itself is the energy manifested. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's chidvaibhav, because it is capable to give the chidvaibhav manifestation of the Golok Vrindavan too. Even the form of the Lord is chidvaibhav. Even when the Lord incarnates in all different, you know, ways, different classified incarnations. Some are purusha avataras, others are guna avataras, others are manvantara avatars. Those are lila avatars. Avatars means the Lord descends in these different, and they are also part of Chidvaibhav. Because they act as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, Lord Sri Krishna himself. So, Krishna is claiming all that manifested and the products of churning of the ocean which are coming out, just so the human being or the jivas can possess, because they want to. That's why they have come and they have been put in the first place in the material world. So, there is a great fight between the demons and demigods to exploit the sources of material nature. They are all jivas. Human being is in between, sandwiched. But the idea is that Krishna is claiming becomes a provable thing when the manifested energies or Krishna's energy becomes manifest, it shows the proof of the energetic. Alright. So, Varuna Dev is also one of the opulences that Krishna claimed, that I am the best of all aquatics, is called Varuna. Pitru Aryama, out of all the best forefathers, I'm Aryama. Aryama was a great personality. Generally, those who are the worshippers of Pitrus, Yanti Devvrata Devan, Pitru Nyanti Pitruvrata, the Pitru Lokas are there. Generally, people are attached to their forefathers. And if they pass, they put their picture. And whatever devotional service they do, they make a vow that it may go to them so they can elevate themselves up to the Pitru Loka. They don't go into hell or this or that. You know, that they desire, because they want to deliver them. That is the main function of the progeny, the children. Pitru tarayati iti putra. Putra's main function or responsibility is to deliver their father, deliver the parents. You know. So, Pitru Aryama. Aryama is the best Pitru. The personality, he's a demigod. Pitru Loka is a higher planetary system. He's a demigod. But he has his own family lineage also. But because he was so benevolent that he became an example for other Pitrus, and therefore the Pitru Vratas are there. And he's the controller of Pitru Loka, you may say. Soma is the demigod who is controlling Chandraloka. Right? So Aryama is the controller of Pitruloka. He's a demigod. He is in charge of that. So all other Pitru and Pitru Vratas, they go there. Yanti Pitru Vrata Deva. So Yamaha Sayyamatamaham, out of all the controllers of all living entities' destination is Yamaraj. You know. Here, Yama has a function, but he does this function, which is rather a thankless task, a punishing. Danda damayitam. Dandam, give punishment. Yamaraj is doing this thankless task. This is the department of death. And Prabhupada said that Yama planet is situated very near to the earthly planet. And it is said also that It has a door on the southern side of the earth. So if anybody departs facing south, that is inauspicious. He will go to Yamaraj's place. But Yamaraj is a pure devotee of the Lord. He is the authority. One of the 12 Mahajanas, Yamaraj, is there. So naturally, as a devotee and doing the function to give the judgment on behalf of Lord Krishna for the material indulgence and exploitations that the living entity might have done, to give him appropriate reaction, Yamaraj is responsible. It may be a cruel task, but how can cruelty become a devotional service? It is Krishna's opulence. How come this cruelty becomes an opulence in service of Lord Krishna? And therefore Krishna is claiming that I am Yama. The personality of Yamaraj may be there, but this personality, as a pure devotee and in tune with Krishna consciousness and at par with Lord Krishna's intimate position, at par, because as a pure devotee and Krishna, they are always in communication. So this is the closest affinity is there, so Krishna can claim that I am Yama. Yama is not different from me. A devotee is not different from Lord Shri Krishna. But simultaneously, a devotee is a devotee. He cannot become Krishna. So this is achintya bheda bheda tattva, simultaneously oneness and difference, which is very inconceivable. But both are existing. And everything is an emanating from Lord Shri Krishna, who is the complete whole. Therefore, the completeness of a living entity is only possible in pure devotional service, by uniting always with Krishna. This is the perfection. So, otherwise everything is imperfection. If Yamaraj is a different personality, agreed. But in pure devotional service, he is always in rapt attention of Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is never separated from him. And Krishna says that I never become separated from my devotee. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya te api chashvata. See this. Krishna says that samoham sarva bhuteshu. Na dveshti, na priyosi. I am equal to all the living entities. There is nobody dear to me and nobody is that I have enmity for. But ye bhajanti to te mam bhaktya te api chashvate. But anyone who worships me in pure devotional service, I am sold out to him. Therefore, I equate him with me. The way he is performing devotional service, I reciprocate exactly. If he is a pure devotee, I am sold out 100%. So in this way, Krishna is claiming the perfection of pure devotional service to be his own opulence. And best example in such a service is Yamaraj. But in the next verse, he also claims that out of daityas, all the demons, I am Prahlad. Because Prahlad's faith, even a 5-year-old kid, he has unshakable faith, and his faith was sustained by constant remembrance. And whenever the opportunity to preach, he will always chant and dance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, he is the example of remembrance, the perfection of remembrance, of smarana. So, it can justify, oh, I can also take incarnation, or I can also come as a pure devotee, Krishna says. That is pure devotional service, is my energy. Then I can also come in the demon family. So, look, I'm equal. I can appear anyway. I'm always independent. Nobody can force me. So, kalaha kalayatamaham, I am the time personified. Time, virtually according to Brahma Samhita, it starts by inhalation and exhalation. Yasya nisvasati kalavathavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha vishnur mahani yatra kala yasya kala vishesho govindamadi purushantamahambhaja. Brahma said, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, Govinda, through whose breathing as Purusha Avatar, the first Purusha, Mahavishnu. When he creates by his glance, and then he goes to Yoga Nidra. But then his breathing starts in and out. So whatever the creation in the multitude of the brahmandas, the universes, that takes place, where are they going to stay after some time? Because everything is a temporary manifestation. So all the brahmandas, they have been created, they are inhaled in, they are resting in his own body for some time, and again exhaled out. So, this is the onset of time. When they are exhaled out, the creation begins. When they are inhaled in, the destruction is there, and there is a suspension period within them. But this is the greatest circle of time. Other times, according to particular universe, they become concentric circle within that big circle. But the biggest circle of the time, they say sometimes, you know, Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra has the periphery where there are spokes. And there are different levels of spokes. It is always rotating on the index finger of Lord Vishnu. That is Kala Chakra. In any condition, once it is released, it can, you know, do the job and return, because it's an obedient servant. It's a personality. So, Krishna, when he departed, this Sudarshan Chakra manifested as 400 form of Lord Vishnu. Narayan form. That is Sudarshan, Mahasudarshan. So there is a personality. But now he is acting on the behalf of the Lord to control. So all that is manifested has to stay for some time and then withdraw. Who will manage? I said, that is my opulence. So this kala is calculated from the exhalation and inhalation time period. Yeah. So, manifestation, sustenance and dissolution will take place in regular intervals. So, Krishna says that is my opulence. And Mraganam cha Mrugendroham, out of all the beasts, I am the lion, Mrugendra. And similarly, the Vainetes cha Pakshinam, I am Garuda, out of all the birds, the aviators. Right? So, anyway, there is a connection between the Nagas and Garuda, because they are cousins. So let's read some interesting religiously political story from Mahabharata. It's quite in detail, but we'll try to this is given in Adi Parva. This story was also been told in Naimisharanya by Suta Goswami upon being questioned by Shaunaka Muni. That is after Parikshit Maharaj Janmejaya, his son became the king, and Janmejaya happened to carry out a great snake sacrifice, and there the rishis of Naimisharanya became more inquisitive to know the details. So Suta Goswami is responding. And there is a mention of this snake sacrifice. Suta Goswami said, "O foremost of the persons acquainted with Brahma, the mother of snakes had cursed them of old, saying that he that had the wind for his charioteer, that is Agni, shall burn you in all Janmejaya's sacrifice." The mother of snake has given the curse to their children, the snakes, varieties of snakes, that they will be burnt in Janmejaya's sacrifice. So what was the reason why the mother is giving that? this has been done through one very virtuous and learned personality called Astika. So he says, that the sages of Naimisharanya were telling that, "Please tell us the story of the father of the mother who gave the curse to the her progeny called the Nagas." So that is, in Satya Yuga, the Prajapati had two, that is Daksha Prajapati, had two daughters. Their name were Kadru and Vinita. So they eventually became the wives of Kashyap Muni upon Brahma's request, because Kashyap Muni is a great Prajapati, progenitor. So Kashyap was very much, you know, affectionate to both the wives, and he offered to give each of them a boon. So, Kadru wished to have sons, 1,000 snakes. She asked for snakes, that I should have snakes, thousands in number, and all of equal splendor. And Vinita, she wished to bring forth 2 sons, surpassing the thousands of snakes. So there is an element of enmity was there. I want only 2, but they will surpass all the 1,000 snakes, however great they may be. So, eventually, both had embryo turned into eggs. Kadru had 1,000 eggs, and Vinita has only 2. But this 1,000th egg, according to the desire of the mother, Kadru, they hatched very fast because she had a competitive nature. 1,000. And she had also a competitive nature, but only 2, but surpassing all the 1,000. So when Kadru bore so many great serpents and they became big, and the 2 eggs of Vinita didn't hatch. So she became impatient. And she popped one. So only 50% developed embryo came out. And he became enraged. God, what kind of mother you are? What kind of mother you are? You know, let us grow, because we have to match in prowess with those 1,000. How is it possible that you are not affording us time to develop? But regardless, because now I am almost helpless, I am not fully hatched, so I'll go away to my destination. But make sure that you wait for 500 years for the other egg that has to be hatched. And whatever your desires to equate, you know, your 2 sons will be satisfied at that time. You know. So she really felt sorry, and the one was halved, and he flew away, and in the sky with the splendor of the sun, so he became Aruna, the charioteer of Surya Devata, the sun god. So, Vinita waited for the other egg and meditated. While the thousands propagated more, and all the different kinds of serpents, they were ruling. Alright? So, Kadru was very happy, and she is thinking she is superior than Vinita, her own sister, right? But when 500 years were over, the egg hatched out, and a gigantic bird appeared. This bird was so huge that all the snakes started fearing. So when he realized that these are his own cousins, these are his own cousins, their mothers are sisters. So he thought, I should not trouble them. So he assumed a smaller form. And somehow or another, they all are living together and assuming the same family. They all resided in Ramanik Dweep. That was their residence, where the demigods would come. So they waited. Meanwhile, this incident of churning of the ocean is taking place, and they were witnessing. So the demigods and demons expressed their desire to distribute the wealth of the ocean, but it has to be churned, and all the arrangements were done. Vasuki was brought in, that is a great serpent, because it's coming as a progeny of Kadru. And Anantashesh also gave protection with fire hoods, and Lord Vishnu agreed to, you know, be at him. He accepted his services. So, the churning, well, the road would be Mandara Mountain, and they brought it with great effort and put, but what is the pivot? So Vishnu said, I'll become Kurma, and you churn on my back. So in this way, again there was a fight, because, see, the enviousness is being carried on into the progenies. The demigods and demons, and they wanted to choose which is the best part of the snake that they should hold. The demigods were at the head side, and the demons were at the tail side. So some demons thought that we are getting the dirty part. Better we should have, you know, so let's claim it before it begins. You know, you never know what will happen to the snake while churning, and it will all fall on us, you know, will be defiled. So better let's ask for the head. And the demigod said, okay, be our guest. But what is the difference between the front part and the back part? When the churning was going on, Vasuki emitted so much big fire that the demons got burned. Yeah? So, you can see how Krishna is playing the balancing aspect. And those who are envious, they are always at loss. Those who are envious, they are always at loss. So therefore, Vishnu Bhakta Bhavit Daiva Asuryat Tad Viparyaya. From that point onward, all the living entities, you know, who want to exploit the resources of material nature, they are fundamentally envious to Lord Krishna. So, in this way, they were watching, these two sisters were watching. When that beautiful horse called Uccheshwara, when it came out, these two sisters were glorifying. What a beautiful horse! Oh, wow! So, can you tell my dear sister what color it is? And Vinita said, okay, it's white. Then Kadru took opportunity to subdue her sister. She says, and suppose if it is not white then? So she waged, if you are wrong, then you will have to become my servant, slave. And if you are right and I am wrong, I'll become your servant. So they wait, and somehow the Uccheshwara was there. But Kadru, as envious mentality, she ordered all her snakes to assume the thin filamental size of hairs, black in color, because snakes are black. So he says, no, go and get stick on the hairs. And first of all, they denied. It's not right. But then they understood that there is a competition and something has been weighed, and our mother should not become slave of her sister. So they agreed finally. So you can see the politics of, acquisition.
prestige, profit, adoration, everything becomes so materially infused that the world has to give a kind of impetus for other living entities to exist for competition. This is at a great level, and here we see at a smaller level. Even for a little piece of land, fight is going on. You know, so much. So the idea is that when the serpents, the nagas, you know, assumed the shape of the hair on the tail, it all turned black. And Kadra took Vinita to observe. Let's see, let's find out. Now it is daytime and we'll see. So really, Vinita saw the tail is black. So she gave in. She became very sad, you know. And by cheating, she did not realize that she was cheated. But Garuda found out that my mother has been deceived. So the head serpent was Kaliya at that time. So therefore, Garuda struck him and driven away Kaliya from Ramanika Dvip. So he hid in Jamuna water. Krishna chastised him because of unfairness, but he also benedicted. So Kaliya had a desire that how come Garuda is the only carrier of Lord Vishnu? How is he getting favor? You know, we are also his subsequent progeny. So, but he had a desire of competition. Why not me? Why not me? So by trick, you know, he wants to fulfill the desire. So he came and hid in Jamuna, but he poisoned everything. This enviousness is considered to be the poison. It doesn't make anybody happy at any time. It destroys the devotional service. One cannot understand the intricacies of pure devotional service unless he changes his heart, gets rid of the enviousness towards Krishna. So he becomes qualified to listen. Krishna Katha. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. Jnana vijnana sahitam yad gyatva mokshashe ashubhat. So this enviousness creates everything inauspicious. And the whole world runs on inauspiciousness, not on auspiciousness. Auspiciousness is Krishna consciousness. Right? So, unless and until one is non-envious of Lord Shri Krishna, can you imagine how much time and generations it took us to become a devotee, and still within the devotional life we compete and we become envious of each other and we think we are devotees? That continues on and on and on and on. And who can go back home back to God? But Krishna qualified Arjuna, and that we have to see. So in this way we see that all these opulences which are manifested by churning the ocean, Krishna immediately claims that these are his prowesses, and then we should understand them, that how he is the embodiment of them. There is nothing impersonal. When the energy manifests, no impersonalism remains. If the energy is existing in obscure form or obscure way, hidden way, then you may call it hidden energy. But there is always energy contained in an object, you know, whether it is material or spiritual, that is the main understanding that we have to develop. Just like fire is hidden in the wood, you do not see fire, but the wood is there. The energy is hidden. Does it ever become impersonal? No. It manifests. Therefore, we burn the wood to get heat and light. So like that. So in this way, opulences, vaibhavs, Krishna is claiming then anantaschas vinagana and pakshinam vainetaya. Vainetaya means the son of Vinita is Guru. So this is how Krishna is explaining his opulences that are manifesting. Arjun wanted to see these manifestations, but the link is, there in the onset of creation. And Krishna reminds him. And because Arjun knew all this, so it was not difficult for him to understand and accept Krishna as it is. But we have to refer to Shastras. Where is this? What the stories are coming through? How these characters are affiliated with this? We cannot go and find out by individual tracing. It is all there. Churning of ocean is the major source. That these all things have been manifested during. So, all these opulences are meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not for exploitation. Anybody has any question?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Maharaj, one point you made was variegatedness is to give choice to the living entities who are envious.
Variety, Prabhupada calls it variety is the cause of invention. It gives an impetus to invent. Raso vai saha. It's not one rasa, one taste, one variety. Raso vai saha is the multitude of different, mellows, varieties. Because there is variegatedness in spiritual sky for Krishna's enjoyment, envious living entities want to exploit them. So they are all present here as a shadow. But regardless, how it is shadow, who makes it shadow? Animosity, enviousness makes it a shadow. If animosity is removed, there is no shadow. But animosity to him, to Krishna. Mayavadis or impersonalists do not relate this animosity to Krishna. They are envious. Therefore, they still offend him. Only devotees are non-envious of Krishna. Therefore, they love all this variegatedness to be used in Krishna's service. There is also another thing. Necessity is an impetus to is the creation. No.
Necessity,
what is it?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Huh?
Mother of invention. Necessity is
the mother of invention. Yes, necessity is the mother of invention. But necessity of what? One thing? No, you invent. Why there are so many models of TV? Says necessity. Somebody says, oh, black and white will go. No, others say color will go. So you sell black and white as well as color. Somebody said plasma is better. Plasma TV is better than LCD. Necessity. Some say necessities are artificial creation of the exploitation of Mother Nature. Otherwise, why do we become so simple to accept only the necessity that keeps the body and soul together and nothing more? Any other question? Jai Jagat Goswami Prabhupada ki.